Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Top 10 from the Gallant Few. This is the show where we ask listeners to put in their top 10 of a certain category. We compile the list, decide how many we want to chat through, and tell you who the top dogs were in the list. Obviously, this is an inaugural selection. Last week, we done part one of the top 10 players from the journey, and this is part two. Here to join me on hopefully putting to bed the last time we'll talk about these World Division years for a wee while. Davey Pollock, how are you?
I'm good, Colin. I'm good. Obviously, still getting over you know what, but hanging in there. And we'll take us down memory lane here, and at least we can say lovely things. We can just ignore all the other stuff.
Exactly. Recording on the 28th of February 2023 for MD, whoever goes back and watches this certain game that's maybe put us in a bit of a bad mood. But the good thing about looking at walking out in front of the hedge at Brecon is it gives you a bit of perspective, David, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does, yeah. Because some of the games, you know, during this period, you know, when we were in the lower leagues, you know, second division, first division, championship. I think our expectation, I know it's always high, isn't it? You know, but I think it was set at the league we were in. So, you know, I remember the cup ties as being, you know, we had kind of mixed fortunes in the cup ties. So, but they were always the games where, you know, we were saying, right, well, test ourselves and see exactly where our team was, you know, in terms of as we progressed through these leagues. It was an interesting time, you know, it was an endurance test, but we come through it. Here we are today.
So just to remind the listeners of what the first show ended up with the list, we ended up doing the top 15 just because there's a lot of players that racked up quite a good few points for the listeners' entries. So in spaces 15 to 7 was John Daly, Neil Alexander, Nicky Law, Dean Shields, Andy Little, Wes Fodderingham, Jason Holt, Lewis McLeod, and Andy Halliday in at 7th. That was the top 9. We're going to go through the very last 6, Davey. And without further ado, let's kick us off with number 6. So this player, he was signed for Wigan in the summer of 2015 for a grand fee of £200,000. Previously, before coming to Ibrox, he was a 1-3 striker at best, but he very soon hit the ground running at Rangers, scoring 28 goals in 36 appearances, with the odd penalty dotted here and there, to say the least, as Rangers rampaged towards the Scottish Championship title. a huge figure in Woburn's first season. It's none other than Martin Waghorn. What's your thoughts on Waggy coming in the top 10?
Oh, I mean, I liked Martin Waghorn. I really did. I know he was kind of all left foot, but he was his commitment was unquestionable. And, you know, he was as broad as a brick, you know what? And he had a lovely touch. And, I mean, I think from, you know, my memory of him, he did as much on the right-hand side as he had on the left. But he had a fearsome dig on him as well. You know, he could strike a ball. I like Waggy. He was, and in fact, you know, when he left, I was thinking, you know, maybe he would have won that we could have hung on to. Obviously, he's gone down to Derby, and I don't think he set the hell on fire down there. But I think he did okay. But I think he would have. It would have been interesting to see Waghorn. Obviously, when we get back to the Premier League, we're looking, you know, to improve the quality, but. Big Waggy, you know, the games against, remember the game against Hibs, both at Easter Road and at Ibrox when he, I think he scored a couple in each of them. Yeah, so, no, I think Waghorn was an excellent player. I think there was, his form dropped off towards the end of his career. I think he had the injury, didn't he? He got injured in one of those plastic pitches.
Ah, he did.
And then, you know, on his return, he never quite got back to the level that he was. And I think, you know, the expectation at Ibrox had risen just a tad. And I think it became a confidence thing. So when he did move on, it probably was the correct thing to do. But when he arrived in his initial spell, you know, he was banging them. And he certainly did a turn for us in that championship. And the season that we... one promotion, even in the season when we get pipped by Hearts, I think Waghorn, excuse me, no, was he'd certainly be in my team from, you know, the lower divisions, no doubt about it. He'd be up there.
What I really liked about Martin Waghorn, and we're going to talk about a few who had a big impact in Warburton's first season. You could see the brand of football Mark Warburton wanted to play was very... it was a million miles away from what Alan McCoist was playing, let's put it that way, to put it kindly. Mm-hmm. And we were still in such a... Scotland's a physical country in general for football, but the further down you go, the more physical it gets. And I did think at the beginning of the season, how will these players stand up and cope? How will these players coming up to England be able to cope with no being able to play their game? As you mentioned at the beginning, but he was a brick hitter, boy. He could shift. He was quite strong. He was a powerful, raw striker. I think he's probably somebody, how some of the players are there now, probably more an instinctive striker if he's had too much time to maybe pick the finish, then he maybe overthought it. But I thought his power, his instinct, he'd done as a massive turn that first season in particular.
Yeah, no, he hit the ground running when he arrived. He looked apart, and I thought he had a lovely touch for a big bloke, you know, because he was, but he did a nice touch, you know, and he could do the nutmegs, the wee cut insides, you know, chopping back things. Yeah, he did have a nice touch of the football, you know, for such a big guy. It wasn't all blood and thunder with Martin Waghorn. And he wasn't scared to have a strike. I remember him. One of the goals that he did score at Easter Road was from an almost impossible angle, but it was just pure power that just drove it through the keeper. I think the keeper ended up getting a touch to it, but no, he scored some nice goals. I liked Waggy. He was... And Warburton at that time, you know, I think kind of lifted the mood, and he was kind of very much seen by me, you know, looking back in that light. There was a bit more optimism. Waghorn, he's a decent player, he's scoring a few goals, you know. It was all part of the journey.
When we look at, this is a top 10 from the players from the journey, and as much as we can, we try and just base it on that, although your unconscious bias would come through for all of us one way or another. Are you surprised? I think we both agree, Martin Waghorn in the top 10 for us. Are you surprised to see him place higher than Andy Halliday, for example?
I think there is always a bias towards goal scorers. You know, although Andy Hardy's one of our own, and you know, again, you know, 110% without question, he is a volunteer, very much a volunteer. So I think that that's generally is reflected in the results, where people like guys who score goals, or you know, in a couple instances, they'll just be so iconic that they'll later become iconic players who, so people will get there just from longevity, almost, you know, from just the length of time that they played there. Which so Wycorn, I think, there gets in as a goal scorer. Andy Hardy gets in just by being one of us. So I think, and give each of them, you know, the three reasons why they're in this list. It would be interesting to compare why they made it and what was the thinking behind the people who voted this way. So it would be that would be interesting. Why Martin Wycorn? Because, you know, and I think he kind of took to Rangers, and I did later see that he would have stayed, you know, had, you know, circumstances just been a bit more favourable. But when he moved back down south, so I think there was a view that, you know, the top league, we're moving to the top league, we don't need you anymore. I think Martin would have done us a turn. It's a shame. It would have been good to find out.
I know. So we're firmly into the top five now, Davey. Coming in fifth place of the listeners' votes. At the ripe old age of 34, he signed for Ali McCoy's in Rangers' first attempt at the Scottish Championship, but in a turgid season, only managed 9 goals in 41 appearances. But a year older, he was absolutely revitalised under Mark Warburton in the new style of play, and he managed to strike up a really prolific relationship with Martin Wycorn as well, and racked up 21 goals over the season. Given the honour of vice-captain behind Lee Wallace in his third spell at the club, he's a polarising figure. He is. It's Kenny Miller in the top five. What's your thoughts on Kenny placing so high?
Well, I have to confess, I've kind of been in both sides of the... I've been in both camps with in terms of Kenny Miller. You know, because obviously when he... His wee stint with the other mob, and then you're thinking, you know, he will never darken our towels again. But hey ho, we get Kenny back, and he won me over again, you know. So I think just again, commitment. I think he was a leader on the pitch, very vocal. He had lots to say. I think at that time in his career, he was of a view that he would be kind of moving into coaching stroke management, but his career would be continuing in football. And I think some of the stuff that he did on the pitch kind of almost hinted to that he was, you know, he was there as an influence in other players and younger players. So he's pretty much saw some of his role on the pitch as, you know, issuing instructions, encouraging, haranguing guys when required. But he certainly, in terms of the goal scoring, he certainly delivered. And in terms of our, you know, eventually when we got back and we won the championship, Kenny, I think, had, you know, from, as you said, you know, the first season when we didn't quite make it back, and then the playoffs, which was a sore one, and then the next season, we just kind of ran away with it. So Warburton, again, you know, Kenny was seen there as probably someone who was very much, you know, a very experienced player, still very capable, still very fit. But within there, just to see us back into the SPFL and then probably move upstairs even at that point. So it never quite worked out that way. But no, I love Kenny Miller. And I just loved the way that he, particularly in when we did win promotion that season, I thought he was fantastic. He was so reliable and so dependable because, you know, he had a run in the team, scoring goals, taking responsibility. I thought he was everything that we probably needed at that time, just to make sure that we managed it. You know, there is the this is what has to happen. You know, a positive influence in the players round about him, Kenny. And there were times, you know, I would have gladly wrung his neck, but on the whole, you know, Kenny Miller was. I like Kenny Miller, and I think it's a shame the way that it's kind of turned out for him in terms of, you know, I think he continues to have a wee constrained relationship with some of the people who are in the club. I don't know whether that's a personal thing or he's now considered persona non grata with the club, you know, in perpetuity. There's a few Latin words in there.
I know. Yeah, you've done your studying for this pod, didn't you?
No, I wish we could find a way to get Kenny back, and you know, Rangers TV, whatever, find a way to get him back on there, because I think he had our best interests at heart. I know he had his wee, he strayed from the path of righteousness for a wee while, but there's no doubt he was committed to us. And just a wee sideline about Kenny Miller, you know, the after the game in Seville, and there's the video of the BT gantry, you know, live when the game is being played, and they're not commentating, they're all just on the rail watching the game. And it's when Joe Aribo strides forward and pops out the ball in the net. And if you ever doubted, you know, where Kenny Miller's allegiances lie, just watch the 30-second video when Aribo pops into the net. And that will answer the question for you. So, no,
we all love a redemption story. It's a fairy tale as old as time itself. And there is a lot of people that will never forgive him for pulling on that jersey, and I can understand that. But I try and look at it, the impact that he had at the club, and he had won me over by the time he left the second time. When he came back, I wasn't a fan of him coming back the third time, and it was purely because I don't think he was what we needed at that time. But there was wider issues going on with the team, probably in the wrong team. I was very much, either rightly or wrongly, I was putting him and Chris Boyd in the same bracket, and that first season under Ali for Miller, it wasn't any better or any worse than the rest of them, but it was a horrible season. Under Warburton, when we had such a big turnaround and we had a lot of new players coming in, a lot of players leaving, like to McCulloch, lost our captain. I was worrying how the identity would be of Rangers. And it's quite a wanky word to write, but we talk about it all the time, about having that Rangers identity. At that point in time, I didn't really know too much about Andy Halliday, but I think Kenny Miller really helped Lee Wallace instill the standards that we needed to get back up to the Premier League. It was just almost liking him to Stephen Davis. Obviously, Stephen Davis is a far superior footballer and done this at a far superior level. But he came back and he was just that model pro for Rangers under 55. Kenny Miller, and he was just that model pro for what we needed at that point in time. I'm a big fan of Kenny Miller. I'm firmly happy to see him in the top five. He's probably comes fourth or fifth for me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think Kenny would probably, gosh, put thumb screws on me. He would be in my top three, Kenny Miller, because I just think he brought drive, determination. You know, I think the word you used was standards. You know, he just, I think he was a good role model for that, you know, in terms of influencing other players. You know, when we when Warburton arrived, and you know, with some of the guys that arrived from down south, and I think Kenny was a good influence on them.
So into the top four, Davey, and at number four, this boy was a product of the youth academy, thrust into the first team at the ripe age of 17 when Rangers faced Brechin in 2012. And that's where he made his first Rangers start. He'd go on to make a further 41 appearances that season as Rangers won the third division. And the following year, struggling for game time, he was bizarrely loaned out to the division above where Rangers were playing. And a further loan spell would follow as Rangers broke into the Championship. In the final year of the journey, he'd make 48 appearances in all competitions out in the wing. And he appeared unplayable at times and a key man for Mark Warburton. The biggest highlight, I'd say, in his time in the lower divisions was that goal against Celtic at Hampden. Step up, Barry Mackay in the top four. What's your thoughts in wee Bazza?
He is something of an enigma for me, to be honest, because he is a smashing player. You still see him today. You know, he's still playing, strutting his stuff with the Hearts. He is capable of wonderful things. But I think even today, but certainly then, the frustration I had, I'm quite surprised he's as high as he is. You just initially say that.
I was shocked how high he, and again, he was terrific. Yes, he's a terrific player. But in terms of all the players that we spoke about, I was really surprised he came fourth.
Yeah, there must be a few members of the Mackay household of being in the poll, but tremendously talented, you know, doing unbelievable stuff. You know, some of the, you can see, even see today with the Jambos, the stuff that he's capable of. I noticed a couple of weeks ago there was a game and he ends up getting pulled, he gets subbed. And I'm thinking, there is Barry Mackay, you know. Sometimes he's, as you said, unplayable. Other times he looks indifferent. But he was certainly, you know, at that age and in that team and the stuff, the goals that he was scoring, the assists that he was providing, the runs, you're thinking, this guy's going to go really, he will not be Rangers long, but someone's going to come in and snap this boy up. But what I've since learned of Barry Mackay, and I don't know how much of this is true or not, is that he's quite a laid-back character, and he's not what you would have termed, you know, a driven professional football player who lives and breathes it. I think he pretty much takes it on his stride. And I think that kind of laid back your approach to the game and being a Rangers player when things aren't going as well as maybe the support believe they ought to, maybe isn't a good mix. So I was actually disappointed when he left. I mean, because I think it was a kind of meeting of minds between Rangers and himself that he was leaving. You know, I don't think Rangers were pushing him out the door and he wasn't, you know, bursting himself out the door. It just seemed to be that, okay, I'll move to another club, you know. So, and that's the, you know, the one of the weaknesses, he just didn't seem to have the willingness, you know, that he was at a big club and that, you know, he was determined to succeed. He just gave me the impression that, you know, if we win, that was good, that was great. And but if we didn't win, well, that's okay as well. You know, it was all passing him by. And he must have been so frustrating, you know, to play with, I think, because he's probably not indifferent, but it smacked of an indifference when you saw him on the pitch.
I don't know if you ever seen Andy Halliday's interview in Open Goal. We talk about Barry Mackay, and it's a couple of funny stories. But the biggest thing we what Halliday spoke about, and he did say he's a bit of an enigma. Because if Barry, according to Andy Halliday, if Barry Mackay could have got the same money stacking shelves in Tesco as he did playing for Rangers, he'd go and stack shelves in Tesco, yes, because it's a less dangerous job. And it's it's no for me to question people's outlook in life, but it's just kind of reiterating what you're saying about that drive. It's never something that he really had, but the listeners have put him in the top four for a reason. And what I would ask you, how much is that weighted on his goal at Hampden? Because I dare say that's arguably the highlight of the journey, that win at Hampden for some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was... I was in the front two or three rows in the front stand, so I'm looking at this, you know, kind of ground level a long way away when he hit that ball. So I probably didn't have the correct perspective of actually how far out he was when he hit it. So obviously we celebrated wildly, but it was only after the game when I saw it, you know, and from a better angle, did I actually appreciate how good a goal that was, because he smacked it from some way out. And there he is, you know, because he will do the utterly ridiculous. And other times, you know, he just gave you the impression that it's not that important, guys, when, you know, obviously we're foaming at the mouth when because it's very important for us. But he was a strange wee laddie. And I think he's something, you remember the kind of wacky hairdos that he used to have as well? He'd come out with, you know,
he still does if you see him play for Hearts, aye.
He'd have a ponytail and the sides were shaved and all that. And was there not, was he at Bristol? He was at Sheffield Wednesday, I think, but he was at one of the Bristol clubs and there was talk that he was going to train to be a hairdresser or something, you know? And I thought, that's just so Barry Mackay. The little I know of him, you know, he's the creative type, and I don't really think he's the we're going to die in the trenches together type, isn't he? He's just
but that was very, I think that was very Warburton-esque. Obviously, he had his generals, if you like, Wallace, Miller, Halliday, but the rest, that was very much what Mark Warburton looked for, to trust Panny, don't panic too much. If it's no working, it will come off. And I think Barry Mackay flourished under that. And that's why Mark Warburton loved Barry Mackay, because for better or for worse, Barry Mackay is just trying to, he is trying to remain calm. And while it is frustrating from the terraces, you've never seen him panic, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I think Warburton, obviously, when he arrived, he was a breath of fresh air. And I just remembered, you know, the surge of optimism that we had when we've got, you know, a manager coming in who's clearly committed to attacking football. He sees in Barry Mackay something of a free spirit, clearly a very gifted player. So they were as one, you know. I think, as you say, Warburton saw in Barry Mackay someone who would go out there, be creative, you know, and do wonderful things. And on his day, you know, gosh, he's up there with the best of them. It's just that when things get a little tough, yeah, because, you know, the accusation was the heart of a mouse was uttered more than one or two times, you know, at the games, because that he just, as I said, you know, you wouldn't want him to go to war with 10 Barry Mackays, because you'd be doomed. They would be, he'd fall asleep.
You would. So into the top three, we're getting to the real top dogs here. Taking the bronze medal in the top 10 players from the journey. He joined Rangers way back in 2007, and a real warrior of a player under Walter Smith. And what he lacked in flair and talent, he absolutely made up with desire and attitude. He won 3 league titles, 3 league cups, 2 Scottish cups, and he also got a UEFA Cup final runners-up medal. That just highlights how big a fall it was when he walked out in front of the hedge in 2012. But it was that experience and leadership, Davey, that would see him replace Carlos Bocanegra as captain, and he'd go on to play up front in midfield, centre-half, in his 3 years in the World Leagues. Big jig Lee McCulloch. For me, he's absolutely there or thereabouts. He's maybe one less than what I'd put him, but firmly deservedly in the top three for me.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, Big Lee was, he's the man for all seasons, isn't he? You know, he played a huge role. He's a huge part of the squad, just a huge influence in the squad. You know, much as we said about Kenny Miller, but he saw the whole course. He was there from, being in Lyon when we were beating them 3-0 in the Champions League to Brechin with the Hedge. You know, so it was, he stuck it all out, saw us through, and I think by the end of his time, you know, it clearly, his Rangers career was extended because it was the lower leagues. I think there was, he would not have been with us otherwise, but I'm sure he would have got a good gig elsewhere. So God bless Lee for seeing it out. And as you said, you know, it would be, you know, defence. I think, gosh, that would be an interesting start, would be how many positions did I see Lee McCulloch playing? It must be the full set. Well, I mean, other than goalkeeper. Because he was the go-to guy when you had he was the original utility man. Because midfield up front, you know, central defence, the skipper, Lee McCulloch, you know, God bless Lee. You know, and I like Jig. You could see by the end of his time, you know, that it was we're on borrowed time. But I think he pretty much saw that as well. Mm-hmm. He was there just to see us through the mission of getting Rangers back to the top league. Mission accomplished. So he will be in our hearts forever for that and for seeing it through. And you know, the ups and downs that came in that. But Lee was always there. And again, he was a bit of a warrior, you know. So you knew you were in a game when you were up against Lee McCulloch, and I liked that about him, that he was not a shrinking violet. I never want to be Rangers players to be shrinking violets. Obviously, the more creative guys, we need a mix. But first and foremost, I want them to be good teammates, be a good team player, and Lee was certainly that. He was. He was the leader. So
it was in, obviously, the third division, League One, first season of Championship. It wasn't always what we wanted it to be, but I do think Lee McCulloch just being that battle axe at times, and he's always been that throughout his career. And he wasn't jaded. He wasn't in shock going down to the trenches in the third division, which some of the prima donnas were. He did have that get up and go, and he could command the teammates around him as well. And I dare to think how bad it would have been if we didn't have somebody like him down there just commanding the place and just keeping the battle going. It was a turgid watch at times, but by God, it would have been horrible not having that desire there that Lee McCulloch showed throughout.
Well, I mean, I think he played an important role in terms of being a Rangers player who had played, you know, had, as you say, three league titles, Champions League, and then played in the lower league. And it was like, as if the teams that we were then playing against, you know, the Brechins, the Montrose, you know, and all these guys, they're coming up against Rangers, you know, wow, oh, you know, so that was their cup final. But I think Lee was being the top pro. He was able to see all that off, you know, because there was a danger that, you know, younger players who we'd brought into the team and players who hadn't played with Rangers at the top don't really fully understand what Rangers are. What Lee McCulloch did know what Rangers are and was determined to get Rangers back to where they ought to be. So he was a strong enough character to fend off all the wee, you know, corner boy heroes from Montrose and Stenhouse Muir who wanted to have a pop at them. And Lee McCulloch was the perfect foil for all of that, because you wouldn't want to meet Lee McCulloch in a dark alley at midnight, because he could look after himself. And I loved that about him. You know, he was he didn't shirk away from didn't shirk away from the challenge when we were winning league titles or the Champions League. He certainly wasn't going to do it against Montrose.
I'm absolutely delighted, Davey, that the listeners have written in their same way of thinking and they've put him in the top three, because I was worried how we'd perceive Lee McCarrick as time goes on, because under that last season or the last 6 months under Ali, then Kenny McDowell and Stuart McCall, he was very much a figure of blame, and I think Rangers fans love a scapegoat, and towards the end he did get a hard time, and it would have been a crying shame if that's how we remembered him. But I'm glad that we do look at him fondly for the role he played, and I think as time goes on, I think it gets rosier and probably more highlighted when I look back how such an important figure he was for this period in history for the club.
I think Lee McCulloch, you know, put himself out there, you know, to be able to be to stay part of that team, you know, and bring the experience that he had and the leadership qualities that he had to continue to be there. And so, you know, had it been different, then he probably would have dropped out of the squad, you know, a bit earlier. But he stayed longer than he probably would have just to see the project, to move the project on as far as he could. So I think Lee McCulloch is to be commended for that. And any time, you know, I see him on the touchline at Hearts, you know, I just think Lee was a great player for us, a great leader for us, and an important part of the transition from, you know, the top league through the lower leagues back to the top league. He an important played a huge role.
So, Davey, we're into the penultimate player coming in at second place. And there wasn't much in it, by the way, when we tallied up the listeners' scores. But in its second place in the listeners' top players from the journey, we signed him for $200,000 from Wigan Athletic at the age of 23. His career at that point already resembling a seasoned journeyman, with bit part appearances here and there at several clubs. But Dowsey's talent at that level were absolutely soon answered. With melodic displays for right back, grabbing the most goals ever from a full-back position since Sandy Jardine, including an absolute screamer at Hampden against Peterhead in the Challenge Cup final. Played 50 games in his first season before going on to be a mainstay at the club for years to come, right to this day, time of recording. It's current captain and Hall of Famer, James Tavernier. So, obviously, there's this season a bit of mixed debate around James Tavernier, but in terms of contribution to the lower leagues, is he in your top 10?
Oh, yeah, Tavernier. I mean, I don't know if you were at this game, Colin. We played, when he'd only just signed, we played in it. I think it was a League Cup tie against Peterhead at Ibrox. I think it was Peterhead. It was Peterhead or Inverness. Yep. And it was in front of the East Enclosure when Tavernier gets the ball and then he plays a wee flick inside, you know, gets to the byline, puts it across. We ended up not scoring from it, but it was just the crowd's reaction throughout the stadium to the wee flick inside that he did to knock it past the defender. And there was a kind of spontaneous roar. And it was like everyone was just so excited that we've got proper football players. And James Tavernier went, that wee moment, it was surreal. It was like, whoa, we've not seen a right back like that in a wee while. He just did a wee flick inside and knocked it past the defender. And that was James Tavernier's arrival. And then he gets to Easter Road, you know, leathers in the free kick. And we're all getting more excited. We're thinking, you know, the optimism Warburton was riding the crest of a wave at that time. You know, and James Tavernier was probably one of the biggest reasons for that, because we saw him as someone coming in who's athletic, who's running all day, who's got a lovely touch, capable of scoring the free kick. I mean, we were getting run away with ourselves, you know, at that point. But you look at his contribution you know, throughout the years, you know, getting his back and then winning at the league, the Scottish Cup, Seville. You know, it's like a boy's own story, isn't it? I mean, if you were to have written this, you know, 6 years ago, people would have had you carted off. It would just from the change, because I think he recently said, you know, when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame, that him and his wife, you know, would travel to, his football career was based in a camper van, because he was changing clubs so often, you know, on loan here, there and everywhere. And it wasn't until he arrived, you know, when he found his home at Ibrox, that he settled down. Now consider Glasgow's home. You look at the 95 goals, the assist, top goal scorer in the Europa League. I mean, who would have thought that when we were playing Inverness? I'm sure it was Peter Head we played at Ibrox, but who would have thought from that day that where James Tavernier was going to lead us? Absolutely. It's almost Hollywood stuff, isn't it? You know,
it really
James
is.
Tavernier, what is James Tavernier? On his day, he's not had the best season this season. There's no doubt about that. But the goals and assists that he's provided us, you know, from arriving from Wigan for £200,000, an absolute bargain.
You said Hollywood there, and it is really hard to separate what happens before and after these years when you think about these players, because we're human and obviously our biases come in as well. But it didn't surprise me that so many people put James Tavernier so high. And if I'm being perfectly honest, in that season where we won the championship, there is maybe more important players in front of him, but it is very hard to separate what he's done afterwards and the journey he's been on as well. But just harking back to first seeing him at Ibrox, those first few games, and bear in mind, this isn't just through the lower divisions, we didn't have the greatest right backs. Under Walter Smith, we were playing guys like Kirk Broadfoot and Christian Daly at times at right back, so the marauding, talented right back, we hadn't really seen one, let's be honest, since Alan Hutton. And watching him felt like I was on an acid tip, honestly. Like, he was joining in with the attack. It's even Lee Wallace, it was a different type of attacker for Lee Wallace on the other side as well. And it's just, we keep on saying it was a breath of fresh air under Warburton, but he was a massive part of that as well. It was just this new style of football, new style of Rangers, something that we hadn't really seen it. Well, certainly not in my lifetime, but probably since we're talking early 2000s, this type of free-flowing football. And, you know, I've said time and time again, I'm happy enough with James Tavernier being in the Hall of Fame from where he was signing for Wigan to what he's done now. And yes, there's going to be players in there who have won more trophies, and there's players who aren't in there that won more trophies. With a Hall of Fame, Davey, I don't like comparing ex-player against ex-player. I think everybody has, you need to look at their own individual circumstances and own individual merit and make the decision.
Yeah, okay, we're not judging these guys on what quality of team they played in. We're judging these guys on their individual contribution to the team that they played in. And in the wider context of what division they were in, and, you know, obviously in the lower leagues, and it would have been a gamble, because James Tavernier took a gamble in heading north, you know, and signing with Rangers. So it's clearly worked out. So it was good for him to take that gamble. I did recently see the footage of his original debut at Ibrox, when he came on as a sub, when Newcastle came to Ibrox in a pre-season friendly, and he came on as a sub, and it was, you know, someone rolled it out just as, oh, here's James Tavernier's debut at Ibrox, and it was in a Newcastle strip, and Christ, he looks like he's left his school uniform in the changing rooms to pull the strip over his head. He looks so young. It's amazing how these things work out. He then, you know, roll the tape forward a few years, and James Tavernier's is in the opening the scoring in a European semi-final at Ibrox to take Rangers to the final. I mean, if that's no Hollywood, then maybe it's just a lack of imagination on my part, but that's a boy's own story, eh? Where you come on as a teenager, you know, to make your as a debut, and then in the same ground several years later, score the opening goal in a European semi-final. It's nuts.
So, moving on to the top spot, Davey, and I really don't see how anybody else should have came out at number one, and this man will always have a place in my heart. Signing for Rangers at the age of 24 before the fall, he became a key player in a horrible season as Rangers were put in administration. A real highlight of that season, however, was watching him score what ended up the winner in a 3-2 Old Firm victory at Ibrox, and he had an iconic celebration which really symbolised the fight and desire we need for the years ahead. I think that was iconic for more reason than one, obviously for what it meant for the club, but for the player that scored it, that was a real mark of the career he could have had, the level he should have been playing at, they could have went on to play it. But with his best years ahead of him, plays his future to seeing Rangers through the lower leagues, and he would eventually become the captain who led us back to the Premiership and lifted the trophy in the final season of the journey. As I said, I will be forever grateful for what Lee Wallace done for the club. It couldn't have been anybody else, David, could it?
Absolutely not. And I was a wee, there's a wee tinge of sadness, you know, last week when, you know, we're announcing, you know, some, I think our first addition to the Hall of Fame in 10 years, and Lee Wallace's name's not on the list. And you're thinking, what are the criteria here for, you know, so if there's any justice in the world, I think, I don't know whether Rangers or someone at Rangers bears a grudge with Lee Wallace.
Because they must do. They must do.
If Lee Wallace doesn't qualify for the Hall of Fame, then I think it just devalues the whole exercise. Because is it just who's popular, who scores the most goals? Then, you know, you go through that list of names, you know, that, and there's now, what, 101 of them? 102? So we now have, and some of those guys, you know, their contribution compared to what Lee Wallace sacrificed to play for Rangers, I just think is just, it's not a good look in the club. I think if Rangers are going to be, you know, the club which Michael Beale wants us to be by allowing the other team to, you know, doing the right thing, this is the right thing to do, you know. It's about standards. Let the other team score. Then I think those principles will apply to Lee Wallace's contribution to Rangers and say, Lee Wallace's contribution is significant. It was unique because, you know, he's going down the league as captain, leading that team in much the way he was assisted by Lee McCullough. But he was in a far more advantageous position than Lee McCullough, because Lee McCullough was creeping, you know, he was naturally coming to the end of his playing career, and it probably ran on a year or two because Rangers were in lower divisions, but he stayed, did the right thing to see his, handed on the baton. But Lee Wallace, as you said, was absolutely in his prime. You know, he was a Scottish international. This guy would have he'd have walked out and had a pick of six clubs to sign for. And he chose to stay and see the journey through. And for that, you know, then I could, he's why he's not in the Rangers Hall of Fame is a stain on our club. It's an absolute stain. And if it's because of some sort of fallout, you know, and we, this is just weeks after we claim that we, you know, we've got standards and we want to do the right thing and be bigger men. Just both can't be true. Both can't be true. Lee Wallace was, and you're right about that, the goal when, you know, the image which, as he runs away, you know, towards the Govan stand, and that day, you know, I've seen it in colour, I've seen it in black and white. I'm not sure And as important, you know, are their players in the background who have clearly just watched the ball hit the net and with the main stand behind them. I think it's you couldn't have stage managed that photograph any better. I think that just encapsulates Lee Wallace's contribution. I think he treated shamefully at the end. And I think he treated shamefully for trying to apply the standards which Michael Beale has just been lauded for. So hypocrisy springs to mind. But there you go.
It really is. And I think you've seen, you almost seen a wee bit of redemption for him coming back. Like Steven Gerrard, tried very hard to get him minutes. When he was first back in, because there's obviously that stature there for Lee Wallace that he will always be remembered at the club. And when we talk about the Hall of Fame, and again, to go back to my earlier point, this isn't saying that the players in the Hall of Fame shouldn't they be there because Lee Wallace isn't there. I find the Hall of Fame, they're there in their own merits, but there's not going to be another Rangers captain who lifts the championship title. I don't know. Let's hope the EBTs don't come back, but realistically, there won't be MD who has to lead Rangers through that final season ever again. And it's not just been there, but his contribution during the time, because we're talking about the kind of sentimentality stuff here. He was head and shoulders above everybody else in the leagues when he played there, particularly even that last season when we brought in James Tavernier, Martin Warhol-Korn, Barry McKay and Kenny Miller were hitting form. Lee Wallace got player of the year that year, and deservedly so. He was just he was a talent above the rest, as well as just having that kind of non-tangible qualities we want in the Rangers, where the leadership, the grit, the determination, he almost made the 4 years bearable.
Yeah, because I mean, there was a period when he was injured for a length of time, and I think we missed him sorely. And when he was no longer there, you saw the influence that he had and the quality that he had. But I think you're right about the existing list of Hall of Famers and the contribution they have made, and Lee Wallace and the contribution that he made. But what I think Lee Wallace also made was sacrifice, and it was for Rangers. So, and Skipper, and he saw his role as the leader as being greater than the kind of monetary value of his contract. And I think if we don't recognise that, then I think we're poorer for it. We're a poorer club for it. And then any talk about standards just sounds just a wee bit more hollow when you don't recognise I'm someone who's actually made sacrifice for the club as well as contribution. So I think we should get a petition together, Colin, really, to get...
We really should. And again, when there's been some of the listeners' contributions that you and I and Chris in the first part haven't quite agreed with, but I think unanimously we recognise Lee Wallace has been the top player, the most important, whatever you want. Whatever parameter you want to put in, whether it's the most talented or the most iconic or the greatest or the most important, Lee Wallace is at the top of every list.
And you can see the groundswell of opinion, just in a straw poll, amongst some Rangers supporters, that Lee Wallace has emerged as number one. And I don't see that being any different from the Rangers support in general, the wider Rangers support. Because I know that certainly from some people I speak to and the people I know, but Lee Wallace is the club are not in a good light in their treatment of Lee Wallace. So, and we recognise at least if they don't officially, I think the Rangers support recognise, as this bears out, exactly where they hold Lee Wallace and what he means to us. So, it's sometimes that we're not kind of in step with, you know, the Rangers support and the club itself, as we see from time to time. But certainly on this one, we're not doing ourselves. We're not putting ourselves in the base light by Lee Wallace not being there when he clearly ought to be. He clearly ought to be. It's not even, you know, much of a debate, I think. So there are other reasons which I don't know of.
If it's any consolation at all, Lee Wallace, you've come out as number one player from the top 10 of the journey, as voted for by the gallant few listeners. So, Davey, I'll just run through the list again for the listeners. In at number 15 was John Daly. Number 14, Neil Alexander. 13 was Nicky Law. 12, Dean Shields. 11, Andy Little. 10, Wes Fodrenham. 9, Jason Holt. 8, Lewis McLeod. Number 7 was Andy Halliday. In 6th place was Martin Waghorn. Kenny Miller was number 5. 4th place was Barry Mackay. 3rd, Lee McCulloch. 2nd, James Tavernier. 1, Lee Wallace. That brings us pretty much to a close, Davey. It wasn't quite as traumatic as I thought it was going to be going through the lower divisions, was it?
No. Listen, I think we... initially, you know, people said it was a sheer defiance. It wasn't defiance for me. It was because Rangers are our team. So, and I think the whole thing was put into context. Remember the day that Sky put up the graphic where we had 49,000 at Ibrox and Rangers had there's more supporters at Ibrox than the rest of the Scottish League grounds combined.
Aye.
And we were playing in Division 2, you know, the lowest league in Scotland, the lowest senior league in Scotland, which just demonstrated the sheer absurdity of the whole situation. That just showed it up for just how utterly bonkers the whole thing was. But, you know, when they wheel out the big stick, which is called sporting integrity, and say, no, this is how it has to be, then they, as I think Ali called it out pretty much correctly, you know, when we were down, they took the opportunity to put the boot into us. So, and I think his comment at the time was, well, you know, have a good kick because we won't always be here. So I think, am I bitter? Probably not bitter, but certainly...
I am fucking bitter, sorry, I am. And I know, like, I want to be the bigger man.
I just wish we were better rather than bitter at remembering exactly who did what and when to us. And you know, revenge is a dish best served cold. And some of the clubs that that took the opportunity to have a field day, I think we should be returning the serve when the opportunity presents itself. So, because since that day, Colin, you know, I have never set foot in an away ground, and nor will I ever. I just will not give them my money. And you know, I'm probably, you know, I'm 5 minutes away from Livingston's ground, and I've been offered tickets, you know, Tynecastle. I've never been offered a ticket for them, but I don't take the away tickets. I just refuse to do it. And I know I'm kind of very much in the minority of that, and Rangers supporters want to go support the team. It's up to you guys, but they will never see another penny of mine. And so in that sense, I do carry a wee bit of bitterness because, you know, I've been at lots of away games. I've probably been at almost every ground in Scotland supporting Rangers. But never again.
Well, that brings us to a close for our first ever Top 10 series. I've put up a couple of threads on Follow Rangers Media and on the social media pages, including YouTube as well. The next Top 10 we're going to do, I'm looking for the listeners to put up who is your Top 10 greatest ever captains. That's maybe going to be a wee bit more thought-provoking. Already we've got listeners putting in the top 10 best captains for their lifetime or top 10 in terms of contribution to the club. Whatever your interpretation of it is, get that, get it in, and we'll do the same again. We'll tally up who comes out top on that list. But thank you all for listening. A massive thank you to Chris for joining us in the first show, and of course to AVP. It's been a pleasure, and until next time, take care.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.